Hey everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are happy that you are with us again tonight for another live episode of our broadcast. And tonight we are wrapping up our online resources, which we've been talking about all May, and it was just like the perfect thing to talk about, not knowing that even COVID-19 was going to happen when we planned this. I mean, I don't know, Kareem. I think we planned this in November of last year.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, yes. And so who knew? But I think a lot of parents right now are thinking about what kind of online options do I have for my student, especially one that struggles, because so many online options go too fast or they just don't fit students. And so we're going to talk about self-paced options that you can have and just how you can make the most of those programs for struggling learners. And I have Kareem Morato with me tonight, and she teaches self-paced classes, so she knows it from the inside out. So thank you for joining me tonight,
Kareem. Not a problem. No, thank you for inviting me. And not only that, but I also have been a student. I have been a student of a lot of self-paced courses.
That's great.
I can tell you the perspective from the student, mm-hmm. and also the perspective from the teacher.
That's a really good perspective, because as parents, we can look at a program from the parent side and say, oh yeah, the teacher must be doing a good job, but then our student comes to us and is like pulling their hair out going, I can't do this.
And I think it's important to define what is a self-paced type of learning.
That is a very good thing to start with, yes.
And I think it's a non-traditional way to learn. It is not teacher-led, it's not class-led, it's just non-traditional. And a lot of resources right now, especially now, institutions, like very high-level institutions, they are releasing a lot of self-paced courses so students can take it. But one of the things I have learned, Peggy, is that information is not education. And sometimes you can, if you are like me, I go into those free educational sites and then I go, oh, this will be great. It will be great for him to learn Chinese. And he will be learning. This is like an excellent history course. And I put all these like a menu, and I ended up frustrated, and I also ended up frustrating my own kids. So we have to be careful about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If it's free, and you've really got to dig through it and see if it's really worthy of your time.
And I think the most important advice my professor gave me when I was creating my online courses, I went to school to get my master's to learn how to teach online and how to create curriculum online. And my professor said, he kept telling us every single time we met, in class, he always asked, what is the end in mind? We always started planning with what is the end in mind. And that phrase, it completely changed the way I plan my own learning, my kids' learning, even when I am creating quizzes or activities, I always remind myself, what is the end in mind? And I think this is a good way to tackle, because just because we have a course, we are not going to do the whole thing. Nobody finished.
That is a very good point. Exactly.
Activity. And I feel like when, I don't know if it's a Hispanic thing, but we always tell our kids, well, you do it or use it because we pay for it.
No, I think that's a frugal parent thing.
And I think as a kid, we need to ask ourselves as parents and say, okay, is this self-paced learning a course, or could be a textbook? Mm-hmm. It cannot just be something related with videos and units, but we need to ask ourselves, is this learning going to be supplemental learning, or it's going to be foundational learning? That means something else is coming after the first level. And that's very important, Peggy, because if we don't ask the question as a homeschool parent, we can end up buying a lot of things that we don't need and end up very frustrated.
Right. We end up putting classes in because we think we need to cover that. And again, you know, we're trying to check the boxes versus looking at the end in mind, like you were talking about. Checking boxes doesn't get you to the end you want.
It's
laying out the plan and then following a plan that gets you, you know, stepping stones. And like you said, it's foundational or it's extra, but those are all stepping stones moving in that direction.
Well, of course, you know, who is thinking about transformational learning when you are doing algebra? I don't know. You know, I am not. You have to do it because you have to do it. But, you know, it's important for us, you know, let's talk about the benefits because, you know, there are challenges, but also there are amazing benefits when it comes to self-paced courses, such as, you know, flexibility. You create your own learning experience. Right. Your student, you know, it could be if it's a teen or maybe an upper elementary student, is going to learn how to, you know, think in a way that is critically, because they have to figure it out. How do we going to get this learning done in our own? Mm-hmm. Also, there are organizational skills because, you know, they have to manage this new type of work. So right. There are benefits. Tremendous yes. benefits, you know, and I guess the number one reason sometimes we get it is also flexibility and also financial, because mm-hmm. it's going to cost us less. Like you say, it could be free or could be a low price because that's not included at a teacher. So there are amazing benefits when it comes to that.
I want to ask you a question because something you mentioned makes me think. So our students are learning these skills, but they don't start with them. So how much involvement should a parent expect when they first start a program when their child's never done something like that before? I mean, because you can't just like throw them to the wolves and say, okay, here's, you know, your online program, now start and go for it. Because I think that's setting them up for failure.
Yes. Well, I have, let me give you an example. For my self-paced speaking curriculum, for the elementary level, mm-hmm. I tell parents, minimum for upper elementary, you have to train your kids how to do it at least for 2 months. Mm. And one thing is you show them. That means training means we show them how to log in, how to organize the materials. We check on them. And then we start releasing to see once they start doing the routine, we say, okay, they are doing it. And still we check on them. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes age that's no matter because you can have a teen. Personally, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I gotta tell you, some of my self-paced courses have been history, for example, and I'm gonna tell you, he knows what he was supposed to do, but it was something that was not being done because, mm-hmm. you know, he was managing AP classes and other courses that he was taking, and that history went to the low priority.
I had a child do that too. Yeah. It didn't happen for a long time, and I didn't even notice it.
And, you know, I take responsibility because mm-hmm. we purchased the course based on the requirements that he needed, right? And it looks so simple. We log in, and it's like, do you understand what you need to do? Of course I do. You know, I'm going to tell you what mm-hmm. is the key here, Peggy. The key is not so much the how simple the course is or how mm-hmm. simple the instructions are or how access to good teaching or good activities or quizzes, but it's how our children engage with the content. And that's where I have failed with my own kids because, you know, we got an amazing course, you know, and but there is the engagement that needs to happen so the transformation happens. So how my student interacts with the content, it was not there. And because it was not there, you know, it was not necessarily, it was in the schedule, but it was not necessarily being done.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's, we all want that feedback, that engagement, because, I mean, it just is not as much fun when you're just, yeah, I logged in, I did what I'm supposed to do, I checked the box. I mean, there are kids that do that, but then there are the others that need a little incentive to, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you something. My history example did not end up in a good note. We tried for a year, did not work. And I actually ended up finding a teacher because, you know, when I asked myself, okay, what do I need him to do now? And I'm going to tell you how I realized we were in trouble because he was taking, he is going to be taking an English class that requires a lot of logic and a lot of argument. And guess what he needs? He needs to understand history to do that. And then we were like, oops, we are in trouble. So I went looking for a good history teacher, and I found this amazing teacher that teaches history in a perspective of why today, what happened before, you know? So I was like, you know, so he is going to end up doing a history class where he's going to take care of two requirements. But, you know, it's just something that we learn. You know, I learn exactly. And I full responsibility.
Yeah. Well, and it's a trial and error thing because one thing that works well for one child of yours is not going to work well for the next child. And we had the same issue with foreign language for my daughter. We tried all different types of courses. She did need a one-on-one, and we have hired a private tutor for her. And she's had 3 years of French.
Wow.
With the same teacher. And her teacher's now living in Japan teaching her French. That's a long story.
But this is true, you know, because I think if we are choosing, for example, when I chose to homeschool, I decided I am not going to become a math teacher. I am not going to become a history teacher, an English teacher. So I had to look for these resources. And let's talk about foreign language. Parents come to me because they are like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to teach my child. Mm-hmm. And this is why I created my self-paced courses, because I realized, you know, parents needed that option. They could not take my live classes. They could not afford the live classes. So I really tried to become the teacher in my self-paced courses. And I, even though they're self-paced, Peggy, they have access to me because it is so hard to do a foreign language with no access to a teacher.
So those are the types of questions that parents need to ask is, you know, what also comes with the courses, because there are standalone self-paced courses that you just get the instruction and that's it. Mm-hmm. Some come with, you know, review and other things. What are other things that parents can look for as, you know, what other options do some self-paced courses offer?
I think the main thing is do a strategic planning. That means what is going to happen when motivation is gone and my student does not want to finish the course. We need to ask that question when we purchase the course, you know? And I think, you know, obviously, like you were saying, you could be using a self-paced course for your French class, but then you hire a tutor. So how you kept up with the motivation of going to level one, level two, level three, is that human interaction made a difference.
And for her, it's made a huge difference. She needed somebody to push her.
Yes.
And that was an area she could be pushed.
Yeah. But, you know, and I always tell the parents, just because you have a tutor, maybe your tutor doesn't know what curriculum to teach. So I think if you can pair the tutor with the curriculum, that will be great. Also, you can get in touch with an expert, you know, with a family member, you know, like we are doing some business type of learning. It's self-paced, and my brother-in-law knows about investments, and I also have a business mentor that my son, if he wants to, he can have access to them. And my son, we asked my brother-in-law, can my son contact you so if he has questions about investments? And he said yes. And guess what? Now they have this beautiful relationship because they are texting back and forward. So that would be a good strategy to think. When motivation, you know, is gone, how are we going to resuscitate?
that's a very good word, resuscitate. Yes, especially when you're working with teenagers.
Yes.
Is now, there anybody in there?
Also, you know, if you are a busy mom or dad, because you know that's the reality we have right now. We are working hard from home. We are doing everything at home. Right. You need to ask how we're going to do a follow-up. How we're going to schedule a, you know, remember, you're not maybe teaching, but you're facilitating the learning. So that's a good question to ask. When is going to happen? It could be Friday's check-in where you sit and you ask questions and they need to show you something. That could be a good strategy, you know, for busy parents that are working. Say, okay, when are we checking if the learning is being done? Another strategy for self-paced courses could be, okay, when is gonna happen? Put it in a whiteboard. This is what we ended up doing with my son. We put all his classes, his subjects, in a whiteboard in his room. And it was easy for my husband and I to approach him and say, what is happening with that class? What's going on here? And you know, so one of his courses, he was so behind that the system kicked us out of the, he had no access. So we contact the people, say, can we have a plan, we're working on it. And you know, that's the beauty of homeschooling, you know, that flexibility. But I'm gonna tell you something, it's not gonna happen alone. And that's the thing, that it doesn't matter. I don't know about you, Peggy, but I have taken some self-paced courses, like hybrid type of thing. And it's very helpful when the teacher sends you the email. It's how things are going. Are you ready to present? Yeah, you're like, of course.
You yeah.
Hey, some of the courses, I even forgot the password.
Well, yeah, it's that accountability. And so if you're not, it really does depend on your schedule. I'm glad you pointed that out, because with busy parents, you know, and I even talked to somebody the other day, they said they're both the parents were working from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. They said, we're to the point where we're like shoving food under the door to our kids. You know, it's just crazy. They're all at home. They're together, but not really. And here the kids are supposed to be learning. The parents are working. And so building in those checks and balances, and I mean, like we were talking about earlier, Kareem, it's, you know, we have to create a margin in our lives. Something I'm learning the hard way. But in those margin times, when you have dinner, those are the times when you can ask those questions in conversation. They don't have to be like pointed and, you know, like in your child's face that you're asking about school, but well, teach me what you learned in history today. You know, that's, my daughter loves talking about World War II with my husband, which he loves hearing about World War II. So, and you know, it's just, so it's a good conversation for them to have. And she's reviewing what she learned in her history class and he's enjoying the conversation.
So. You know what? A teacher secret, I'm going to tell you. I know we as parents, sometimes we skip the learning objectives. We're like, who cares about that? We dive into the chapter. I'm going to tell you something. Do not skip that. Because when you learn the, when you read the, okay, this is what are important. These are the objectives. Then as a parent, you can also step back and say, okay, are all these exercises worth our time? Are these activities engaging, or should I change the activity and make it a project? You know, so, and I think that's something that, again, from the beginning, when we talk about, let's think about the end in mind. Mm-hmm. When you read those objectives, then you know what the student is supposed to know and what he's supposed to do or she's supposed to do. And I think it's important that, you know, sometimes, you know, we are doing, they're doing the class and we're doing everything, but then we need to put ourselves in our children's shoes. And say, is this exciting? Is this entertaining? If not, let's change this. You know, go and change the activity and make a project and make it fun for the student. Make it meaningful.
Right. It's not just busy work. I think we can make school into busy work and make it 8 hours a day. And it doesn't mean that our children are learning. I mean, it just means that they're busy.
Exactly. You know, my daughter right now, I want to give this tip for the younger audience. My daughter, she's 10. So a lot of the things we are doing, because, you know, I don't want her to spend that much time online too.
Right. I'm hearing that from a lot of parents.
We, you know, I never imagined I was going to do that. So we take the textbook and we select certain readings and she reads aloud. So we are practicing reading at the same time. She's reading aloud and, you know, and then when she's reading aloud, I'm able to stop her and say, well, what do you think about that? I ask her questions. And sometimes we don't know the answer. So then we write it down in a book and we say points to research. So she writes a list of things that she wants to go in depth, and sometimes we ended up with self-paced courses because she decides I want to explore more of these. So we, you know, so we don't start with this with the course, but we ended up with the course because we want to explore more in depth. And self-paced courses are amazing for that. One, maybe to explore an interest. Maybe your child say, "Oh, I want to do this." Really? Okay, go and take that self-paced course, and you will realize, no, that was not the case. You know.
Right.
But then, you know, if your child is learning about something that he already loves, she loves, then you can say, hey, let's check a self-paced course to see if you can learn more in depth. And I can tell you, because you go into the self-paced course with a motivation, most likely your child will engage with the content.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And I hope it makes sense what I'm saying.
Oh, it does completely, because it goes back to what you said at the very beginning. You know, you want your student to reach the end goal that, you know, you have for them. And the end goal, ultimately, is to lead them in the direction that their passions and pursuits are leading them.
Exactly.
And when we take the time to take a step back, and instead of saying, well, here's your English, here's your history, here's your math, you know, but are those fitting into that, those steps and those, like you said, foundations and extras that all kind of funnel towards that end goal? And as you get up in grades, it becomes all the more important.
And I think, you know, there is a time, a place for things. Also, when let's talk about learning tools, because there is so much tools there, so many tools that we can find. Like to learn a language, you can find apps, you can find so many resources. But then we need to ask ourselves, is, you know, I remember one person telling me, oh, my child can learn Spanish through YouTube videos. And I was like, really? You know, so I did not argue that, because that, you know, I have never met a student that say, you know, two things. I have always asked a student, hey, have you learned Spanish using only an app? And they say, no. Have you learned Spanish only using YouTube videos? No. However, these are excellent learning tools to enrich what we are doing. Because the kids love the YouTube platform, maybe, and just finding different teachers teaching the same concept, a different perspective. That's amazing, you know.
Right.
But I think it's nice when we are able to find a resource, a course that will have a logical learning path, that you are not going to have to go and find out every single resource to put it together. You don't want to be a curriculum designer. I am. I went to school for that.
Yeah, we don't have time for that as parents. I mean, I know. I was talking to somebody today, and they're like, well, are you an educator in a school? I'm like, no, I have a degree in physics. I just taught my own kids. I used other people's curriculums to teach them.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I think you say something very important, Peggy. You are using other people's curriculum. So, and this is very important. You know, a lot of parents come to me for Spanish because they saw me teaching in my Facebook page and they like my energy. And, you know, and I really appreciate when parents say that. But, you know, if you are a very quiet kid and here I am saying, Lola, come start, they would be like, I don't think she's for me. Like my, you know, I gotta tell you, my older daughter, she already disqualified me as a Spanish teacher.
Oh, no.
She will tell me like, calm down, mom. So I always ask the parents, do you want me to calm down? Because my kids think I'm too loud. And they're like, no, we like your energy. But it's good. You know, you have different teachers. You know, when a teacher creates a curriculum, the curriculum is coming from a human person, right? Exactly. And sometimes that's good to differentiate when you are getting a curriculum from who? You know, is this curriculum more like a digital type of creation, you know? So it's going to feel less personal. But if maybe you find a teacher that you love and she has a self-paced course, that will be excellent. So I think, you like you're saying, finding how our kids learn, know?
And like you said, just this, the personalities and the people, because I know my oldest on the spectrum, would not want a teacher that had any emotions at all. He'd be happy with just the computer interface because that would like distract him. He would not be able to learn. And so again, it's, you know, it's just, it is unique to each child as to what's going to work. And so yeah, it's finding that synergy, I guess, is the word that best describes that. Is there's something that clicks, and it can be a personality, but it can just be the way, the mode that your child engages best. I know we have this funny story. My kids, I was trying to teach them to type, and I wanted to use a self-paced course to do that. Mm-hmm. But the problem was the game was written. It was written as a game, like a video game. And my boys are gamers. And so the end goal for them is winning. The only problem when you teach typing is not to win, it's to repeat and repeat and repeat. And so they got so frustrated because they just wanted to win that game and be done with it. So we ended up replacing the game with a book that made them repeat and repeat and repeat.
But you're saying that's such an excellent example because, you know, it's just like my Spanish one course. You know, I provide flashcards, you know, for the students that want to do the flashcards. Well, some parents told me, my child hates the flashcards. Okay. But then I have the other parents saying, oh, my child loves the flashcards. Exactly. Love playing. Yeah. You know what I did? I ended up creating a PDF where students can print the page and they write the word in Spanish, in English, Spanish, in English. Some parents say, that page is amazing. Some students say, Señora Morato, we hate the page. You know? You know, so I like putting things where I discover how my students learn. I like putting different things in place inside the course because I know it's going to be very effective. You know, last year, I realized that my students were afraid to speak, even when they were a Spanish one. Like the first meeting, they were afraid to speak. So what I did is I record myself, you know, showing them how to pronounce each vocabulary word. Now, that took me forever. It took me like 5 years.
Sure.
You know? But guess what? My students tell me, my self-paced, because I get to meet with my self-paced students once in a while. We do like some live workshops because as a teacher, I'm curious. Who is my, behind the course? I want to know. And you know what, Peggy? I have met with my self-paced students. These students are amazing. And they are making, they're moving forward in learning Spanish in their own. And I'm like blown away. And then one of the things they told me is like, thank you so much for making those videos of the pronunciation. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Because, you know, remember, students don't have access to me. So it's for them, it's nice for me to, you know, see my face and me helping them pronounce the words. So I so appreciate the fact that the students gave me feedback and they told me, this is difficult, this is hard. And I saw, and that's important. And when you have a teacher creating the self-pace, that's a benefit, I think, because the parent can give the teacher feedback.
Yes, and that's a huge benefit because if you just find something online, somebody created, they probably created it for their own child. whether your child's identical to their child, you know, that's usually the, well, take it or leave it, because this is what I made it for and I'm not creating a new version. But for somebody like you that's, you know, improving on your curriculum on a regular basis,
yes,
that it's a huge benefit to your students. I know, especially learning a language, if you look at it on the paper and you're not used to pronouncing those vowels and those letters, I know my daughter with French, she's like, they don't even pronounce half of these letters that are in these words, you know? But you're skeptical to, you know, to say anything, but you want to have that practice to be able, because if you go into that country where you're speaking that language, you're going to be afraid to say anything because you're afraid you're going to say something you're not supposed to.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's hard because teenagers, you know, they want to look cool. They don't want to look different. And I understand that. And this is why I decided to start creating my speaking curriculum for elementary students, which is self-paced. It's a completely different methodology I use because the students, I teach them how to use the language in complete sentences. But I could see, but listen, I have been studying the results for the last 3 years, and parents are giving me feedback, and as they give me feedback, I improve each lesson. And I think that's important for parents to when they are gonna take a self-paced course, to say, how are we gonna tackle this? And another thing that I wanted to give a strategy is empower, if you have a teenager, empower your teen to say, okay, this is how I wanna tackle the course. You know, give them some space and say, you know, okay, you wanna do your plan, then come up and let's sit together and show me how you're gonna tackle that. And I think that's important. I even do that with my live students, you know. I tell them the first week of class always says, tell me how you're going to study. Tell me how you're going to get it done. And I think that it's something powerful that happens when teens are empowered and they realize, wait a minute, I'm driving my own education. And I think that's something that can be learned from self-paced courses, because the content is there 24/7, you know, they have access to it anytime, they can do it as many times they need, you know, so it depends on them. So one of the things that I discovered is that sometimes I need to not just teach my child, sometimes I also need to coach my child. What is the difference? You know, teaching is, I tell them what they need to know, and I tell them, do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, repeat after me, and they tell me exactly what I want them. I taught them well. But coaching them, a coach will see your attitude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do it. I hate, you know, like my students say, I hate Spanish. I would be like, why you hate Spanish? You know, like when somebody tells me I hate Spanish, I want to know why, because I know that they need some coaching, some understanding. Why are we doing this? Why are we repeating so much? Why I have to do it daily? And I always say, remember, it's not to the length, it's how often. I want them to do 15 minutes, but do it daily. You know, so that coaching role, sometimes as parents, we need to wear the hat and help our children understand why are we doing this, especially when they are teenagers.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, when they're younger, we want to train them because, you know, we do a lot of school with them when they're younger. Again, like back to the original conversation when we started talking about just how you need to be there to, you know, walk your child through how to log on and, you know, all these things that eventually they will get. And, you know, now you want them to get to a point when they're teenagers where they can just go in, log on, mark it off, and know that they actually did their best, you know, engaging with the content. But that takes a long time of training. And if your student hasn't been trained to do that, if they, you know, I'm thinking all these parents who had students going to public and private schools and now have students doing online learning, and they've just been thrown to the wolves. They haven't been trained at all, and parents haven't been given the time to really sit by them and train them. It's a completely different scenario than most homeschoolers start. They start out, you know, just saying, okay, with the mindset, we're going to make this work, and we're going to train from the point that we start. And so it's, you know, taking that step back. And I think, you know, if people are considering this option or any other option, to realize, to build into that schedule, just the training aspect. And I'm glad you brought that into the discussion.
Yes. And I think, you know, especially parents, I want to encourage any parent that is trying to figure it out, how to do schooling during the, because of the crisis, you know, keep that in mind and say, what is the end? At the end of the day, at the end of the year, what is it that I want my kid to do? Maybe it's read better, close the gap in math. Maybe it's understand certain concepts better. And for that, you know, maybe you don't need a whole course. Maybe you need to target, you know, just like when you go to the doctor and they tell you, take, this is my pain, take this specific medicine. And maybe this is something that you can do with your child. And you can ask the teacher, what do you recommend? This is not working. Be honest with the teacher and say, this is not working. Tell me what is, if we can, we want to finish the school year in a good note. Can you help me figure out what strengths or what skills I need to work on it in a more effective way?
Right. And then, and if you're paying for a self-paced course and you have a teacher at your disposal, use them. They are part of your team. And they can give you a lot of feedback on your student. And so, that is a really good resource.
Yes. And I think what you're saying is important because, you know, like in my case, my courses are hybrid. Even though my live classes, students come and join me on a weekly basis, it's not to learn the concept because I already created the lessons in video form. So when the students come to me, it's to speak Spanish. It's all practice speaking, what they learn at home. But it's interesting because if they did not watch the videos,
you know,
when I ask them, they're like, I don't know, you know. So my students learn by, you know, by the 4 weeks, it's like, we better watch these lessons because she's going to ask us how to do it. And, you know, of course, you know, I go over some concepts, and but the idea is, you know, and I think this applies to even self-paced courses, is how we going to apply what we are learning. How we going to apply it? How it's going to become, you know, how can our children say, okay, this is useful.
Right,
I can
exactly.
see it. I can see it. You know, why this, I need to know this. And, you know, and if it's, you're doing something for a self-paced that is a requirement for high school, I want to encourage the parents to really, really take their time, the first unit, the first chapter, the first module, to really understand what is not working. Because if you wait until the end to check, it could be a disaster. You know, I know some parents right now, they are trying to complete requirements, and they're having to juggle two classes because the first one did not work, and they and I had to do it. I had to do some remediation.
I've done the same thing.
But, you know, but I think if we're going to face reality, let's face it earlier. Don't wait because, you know, the majority of students, the number one challenge, you know, I learned when through my professor, always he always say this. The number one challenge is that students will not finish the course. They will drop. They will quit. And I think it's important to, so when we start seeing the symptoms that this is not working, it's better even sometimes to drop. If it's not going to work, it's better to drop it and say, this is not working.
Right. You're going to beat a dead horse until it's really dead.
Yes.
I agree. We had, I think we did one self-paced course. My son said he wanted to learn some IT, you know, and it was just really dry. And, you know, I didn't find out until like months later that I asked him, I said, how's it going? You know, where are the modules going? He goes, oh, I haven't done that in a while. You know, oh goodness. So what are we going to do to make up this credit? You know, and so we built a computer, you know, we modified the name of the class did some more hands-on things versus, I mean, you can resurrect those credits through other things.
Well, exactly. But you're doing something, you're saying something very important, and it's good for us to tell the parents with high school students, make sure that when you take a self-paced course, my daughter took a few, we had to know how to name it in the transcript, you know, yes, and how to describe them. That's mm-hmm. very important, because you don't want, if you're planning for your child to go to college or whatever, you mm-hmm. want to show that there was work done, even right. if it was independent, you know, mm-hmm. even if you can show something, you know, some projects, like for some, right. I remember like an English course, we even added the books that my kids read, because mm-hmm. it was important to say it was not just a course. We added right. some reading, some writing, some projects.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah, all the different things that, yeah, sometimes, like a self-paced course sometimes only covers one aspect of that subject, where you, if you do want a more full curriculum, the more rounded out, you do have to look for other resources too.
Yes.
So that's a good point. Natalie said, hola. Sorry, I haven't put that up.
Hola, Anita.
And then she said she shared the video in about 20 groups. Thank you, Natalie. So if you are watching and you have a question about self-paced, we're talking about self-paced classes and how to get the most out of them for your struggling learner. We definitely would love to have your comments and questions in here for Kareem to answer. She's a curriculum developer and teaches online self-paced courses as well as live courses. And so I'm going to throw your website up here since I'm talking about you. Online Spanish Education Solutions for Homeschool Parents. And so it's homeschoolspanishcurriculum.com where you can find.
That's where you can find more about my programs, homeschoolspanishcurriculum.com. And I address the elementary needs, because I do believe, especially a language, it needs to start mm-hmm. earlier. It needs to start as soon, like parents ask me, when should I start learning Spanish with my kids?
Really yesterday? Yeah. Yesterday?
What about yesterday? I mean, I was a high school teacher for 16 years. Mm-hmm. I taught in the classroom. I used to teach immersion and IB mm-hmm. Spanish. I was passionate about high school Spanish, but then I realized, wait a minute, I want my students to be bilingual. By the end, when they finish high school, I want them to be able to say, I am intermediate advanced. And I realized I needed to create an elementary a curriculum that addresses that. And plus, guess what? My elementary child refused to speak Spanish. So, and that was like, can you imagine? I spent it, like grandma, which we could name her abuela, grandma say, how come she does not speak Spanish? She has a Spanish teacher. She told me that for so long. So the only way for me to solve that is I created a curriculum for her. And guess what? She became part of the curriculum. She also speaks in the lessons with me.
Oh, that's awesome. Candace says, hey, ladies, two powerhouses.
Hi!
Thanks for joining us, Candace.
Yes.
I did not make that bridge for my middle son. You know, having a degree in physics, I taught calculus to my oldest at home. My youngest is now doing college algebra with me we'll finish it up in her junior
year. Wow.
But my middle one, man, I could not teach him algebra.
I know that's so difficult. I'm going to tell you something. My kids, I remember my two oldest, they realized, and when they were in fourth grade, that I was not going to be able to help them in math. So, you know, it was like an explosion. So things started building up in third grade. My kids were like, my mom is not that smart, I think, with math. Yeah. Because every time we were doing a self-paced curriculum with teachings and everything, but every time they got stuck in math and they will come to me with a question, I will be, let's find in YouTube what is the answer. And they were like, Mom, just tell me the answer. It's like, no, we need to.
I need the YouTube.
You know what? So I realized this is not working. So in seventh grade, and we did, and it was late for my, almost late for my daughter. We pay a really high price to get her where she needed to be, because guess what? My daughter is going to the university to be an engineer. So math and science was very important. And I almost messed up, almost, until I realized I can't do this anymore, because I was literally holding my kids back. So I decided, okay, I'm going to solve the math issue the way it needed to be solved. And I had to, you know, take drastic measures to bring them to where they needed to be. Now, the youngest one doesn't have that issue, because I learned from my oldest one.
Well, and that's a really good point, is there are certain things, I mean, we have to weigh what's important. Again, like looking at that end goal, I mean, if you have a student who has certain subjects that they need to have on their transcript, they need to, you know, have the base knowledge of that you can't provide, usually it's going to cost you a little bit of money, and you need to find some really good resources. For those things that are extracurricular, maybe art, and maybe they don't even want to do art, but you're like, well, we need, you know, something to fit in, you know, that could be a self-paced course that's free. If they just enjoy, you know, like learning how to pencil draw, or, you know, whatever, you know, different mediums and things like that. But you have to invest. I guess that's probably the best word. Invest in the things that matter most to reach your end goal.
Yes. And in this case, if we are doing self-paced, for the parents that are doing the work, the investment may be not money, but it will be time.
Yes,
we have
exactly.
to train them. We have to create those learning experiences, you know?
Right.
And I think we have to make sure that there is no magic pill, you know, and we are not going to have, you know, that, you know, it's not only our kids' fault, you know, it's a combination of so many things that have to happen, their interest, the level of motivation, the learning circumstances that the learning is happening, so many things that we need to take in consideration. And then let's take the best option, you know, let's take the best option. And I would strongly recommend, if you have a teenager, involve your teen in the decision making.
Yes, exactly. I know my daughter just loves that. We're to the point where she could have actually graduated last year. And so we're just kind of spending the next 2 years of high school just doing things that she wants to do. And it may make it on her transcript or not, but she really doesn't need it. She's got enough credits to graduate. I just don't want to let her go. So,
That's amazing.
She started kindergarten the week she turned 3, so it's been snowballing since. But yeah, that's a good point. You know, just to have parents to, you do have to prepare. And so as far as, you know, when parents are looking at self-paced courses, are there some things that they should specifically look for based on a student that struggles? When you look for a self-paced course in their description, what are some maybe things that are positives to self-paced courses, other than, you know, just having access to a teacher? But I know there's a lot of different things out there. And what are some maybe some red flags?
Well, you know, I think parents need to be realistic and say, okay, when are we going to start school? How many chapters? How many modules? And be realistic about that. And then realize, we're going to do this and skip this, you know? And I think when, you know, we're doing right now a math curriculum with my daughter, because we were doing a live class, but because what happened, you know, things are now there. And she was not happy. I want to tell you this. She was not happy. She's like, I don't want to do a computer math class. And we didn't have access to a teacher, you know?
Right.
And so I say to her, well, we tested. We sat and we did like 3 tests of 3 different curriculums. And, you know, until we kind of compromise, I say to her, okay, let's do this. If we do this curriculum, guess what? I'm going to purchased the, she wanted to do a Prodigy Math, which is game-based, you know, which is, it's great. You know, it's a great thing, but I told her, we can't just do games. You know, I want something that tells me what concepts are you learning? I want to see progress. Mm-hmm. So we compromise, and she's a very strong will. So we compromise and say, okay, this is what we're going to combine. You know, and I think this is what parents need to do. But also, you know, the curriculum has the option to add like 60 problems. Guess what? I only added 15.
So there's options for the parents to choose. That's a really good thing. Yeah.
And I think it's self-paced. Mm-hmm. You need to think about, okay, what is our time? What is the realistic schedule? Are we going to do from this time to this time? You know, when I tell parents about my curriculum, I say that I need at least, there are 6 modules, and you at least need 38 weeks. But some students, they finish in 33. But I don't want to say that because I include breathing room and between modules. So because I know my students and I know that life happens,
exactly.
You know, because when I create courses, I'm thinking I'm making the course for my own kids, you know. So in between modules, I created some breathing rooms, you know. And another thing that I do, Peggy, and I don't know if this is helpful for parents, but at the end of each chapter or module or whatever, just reflect how this is going, how this is working for us. Is this working or not? Are we gonna finish? What do we need to do? And you know, I do it with my kids all the time. You know, I don't really want to hire a tutor because I know how expensive they are. But I ask them. But I always say to them, if we need to hire one, we're just gonna hire one. But the learning needs to keep going. So just giving our kids the come and tell me if things are not working. We're going to figure out a solution together. I think it will open up the conversation to more, let's see how things are going. Because a lot of things, you know, sometimes I hear a lot of stories where teens don't tell the parents and their parents find out. And then there is an explosion, like a battle.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, and sometimes our frustration level is so high. Our stress level is so high. Because of one course that is not being done. Sometimes as parents, we even question, am I fit to homeschool? Just because something is not working.
That is a really good point. Yeah, and it's one class. Well, we can so hyper-focus on that one thing. Oh, yes. Yeah.
That is not working.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yes.
Because everything else is working, but we don't see that as the positive. We just see the negative.
Yes.
And yeah, now everything that you've talked about in this last hour, I mean, it's the program. You have to take a step back and look at the program and look at your student and how are things just not meshing and what we need to do.
This is the vehicle. This is the tool, but it's not the why. It's not the what.
Yes.
Our student is the reference. They are the temperature. You know, they are the, so this is what we are measuring. It's a human being that is interacting with that content. And, you know, sometimes I have seen, Peggy, the shame and the guilt in my own children when they cannot master something. And I think it's important. You know, I always have this in mind with Spanish. I know my students will not remember all the verb conjugations.
Yes.
They will forget. Mm-hmm. But they will remember how I made them feel when they were learning Spanish. Mm-hmm. And we need to think about that. You know, how children feel when they are learning something sometimes can break them or make them.
And you bring up a very good point. Last week we were talking about outsourcing schooling and options. And the one thing that my guest talked about was when you hire a tutor or you use a course, remember that these people are speaking truth into your, or whatever else they're speaking it into your child's life on a regular basis. And so understanding their core values and why they're teaching and just understanding that they're going to be speaking that into your child's life on a regular basis. So really look deeper.
That's so true. And even, you know, and sometimes, and this is something that I didn't think about this, Peggy, but you're right. You know, our kids are learning the values of that course creator.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, how they see life, you know, and I think it's important. It's not just information. We are looking into transformation too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So awesome. So I want to bring up your website again as we're wrapping up. But so tell us a little bit about, so you offer courses for Spanish for elementary.
Yes. So I help English speaking parents to educate bilingual children. So I understand how it is for you not to speak the language. A lot of my parents, they study Spanish in high school and college, but they never spoke the language. So right. I attract a lot of parents that want a different learning experience. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to speak. So I try my best. And my live classes is speaking classes. We meet once a week to speak. And for my self-paced courses, obviously the parent has access to the content. But the idea is that even when it's self-paced, I always tell the parent, the student should be opening their mouth, talking to the computer. I don't care if they're talking to the dog or the cat, but they
right,
should
exactly.
talk to someone, you know?
The
idea is that the students will be moved. I called my students parrots, loros, you know, like parrots, because they, at the beginning, you repeat everything that you hear, and then you move to describe, and then you move to explain. So I always tell parents, we cannot expect the explaining part if we don't start with the repetitive part. So I always say repetition is important, and that's done in the first level, you know, even elementary or secondary. Now, my secondary self-paced courses, they meet the requirements for high school diploma. And I keep in mind, when I create a course, I'm thinking my student may go to college and keep studying Spanish. So I prepare them to tackle the college Spanish curriculum too.
Yes, that is important.
And I think the most important part, Peggy, to say this, I am passionate about students speaking Spanish, but I am even more passionate about teaching also culture. I do believe that students need to connect the big why are they learning to speak Spanish?
Yeah.
And I always say to my students, Spanish is not a subject, it's not a skill. It's also, it's people.
Right.
Languages are people, our culture, are people like you and me that think different, eat different. And of course, the students love the eating parts, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, it's at the end of the day, you know, I learned how to speak English because I wanted to connect with people like you, you know, and you know, and learning English opens so many doors for me. So I have this idea that we should, as parents, teach our children that they should learn a language because they want to connect with the people that speak the language.
Right. Yeah. And that's, it gets to the core of that. And that's beautiful. I love that. Because, yeah, you go to other countries and you feel like there's that barrier, you know. And so, like, when I've traveled, I've tried to learn as much as I can. Thankfully, Italian is very close to Spanish, so I can speak a lot of Italian. When I went to Russia, that was a whole different boat,
a
different alphabet. But yeah, so. But anyways, well, thank you so much, Kareem. This has been so awesome. I hope it has really encouraged parents to look into self-paced courses as an option, because they really are. And there's so many good things to get out of them. But, I mean, we did talk a lot about those tricky places, too, that can really get you.
Benefits and challenges.
Exactly, yes. And so every curriculum has them. Doesn't matter if it's a book or anything. It's just the way it is. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Peggy. Happy to talk to you, my dear friend.
I know. I miss you. We'll be able to see each other in person someday.
Yeah.
But thank you all for joining us here on Sped Homeschool Conversations. This is the end of our May month and Internet Resources. Next month, we are focusing on high school. But want to let you know that our regular Tuesday broadcasts are not going to happen for the next 2 weeks because I'm having surgery on Thursday. So we are having a matinee next Friday, and we are going to talk about what you need to know about accommodations after high school. And I'm talking with two pro bono lawyers from California that this is all they do. It's, they work with a nonprofit called the IEP Project, and they help parents to understand what they need to do ahead of time so that they can request accommodations for their students after high school, whether it's college, tech schools, you know, for jobs and the workforce and all those things. So that's what we're gonna start, kick off the month of June with. So hopefully you can join us for that. So, so then we'll see everybody. Hopefully I will be somewhat recovered and not
yes,
on too much pain medication when I come back.
We'll be in our prayers.
Thank you.
Take and care.
So, yep. Yeah, all right. Bye, everybody.
Adios.
Adios.
Bye.